Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord that you made time in your schedule to share these next few moments with me as I continue on in a message I've entitled A House Full of Glory. And beloved, this is so exciting because perhaps you've heard the word for years, you know, that God's going to do a great work in these end days. There's going to be the greatest harvest we've ever seen. Well, beloved, this is a scriptural example from the Word of God that God is indeed going to do what He said He was going to do. We were looking at the book of Haggai, the Word of the Lord that came to the people of Israel at that time. They were had been discouraged. They had laid the foundation of the temple. They were back in the land. And then because of opposition, the work ceased. And then they just, years went by and they got involved and busy with their own lives. And the Lord calls the prophet Haggai to rebuke them and say, the people are saying, oh, it's not time to build the Lord's house. Oh, you know, there'll be a time coming, but not right now. And basically, they inverted the divine order. Jesus said clearly, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added to you. They were seeking for all the things to be added to them and not seeking after the things of God, and it wasn't working well for them. There was famine and drought, and they put money into bags with holes in it. It just drained away. And so whenever there's not the blessings of the Lord, it's probably always a good time to ask, Lord, is there something I'm missing? And so the wonderful message, though, in this book is that the word of the Lord is delivered, and praise God, the people of God respond with obedience. However, the Lord says in the second chapter, in verse 3, He said, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? How do you see it now? Is it not as in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? In other words, He says, don't be afraid, but you see, what you see before you is not what you have experienced and known. And so we were beginning to look at the glory of that first house, that former house, which Solomon had erected. But as I shared, as we went just a little bit further, in the second chapter of Haggai, that sixth verse and the seventh verse, it speaks forward, I believe, to a time in which we are now living, where the Lord says, verse 6, in a little while, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. He's speaking of a future time. But as we look back to the glory of that first temple, we saw that when Solomon had finished the work, all the special things that David had dedicated, the silver, the gold, the instruments, all the treasures of the house of God, they were all brought in there. And we see that there was a reverent attitude, a spirit of dedication. There was a sense, a new sense of direction or vision. It says the elders, the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers, all the men of Israel assembled. And so, beloved, every step of progress spiritually, every advancement, every new benefit demands a new recognition and acceptance of responsibility. Beloved, every one of us is a steward before the Lord of the things God has given us, not just our finances, but our time, our talents, our abilities, things that He has placed within us. We need to be responsible stewards. We will one day stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of what we had done. And if any man's work is wood, you know, hay or stubble, it's going to be burned up. But the precious jewels, the gold, the silver will remain. That is what we have done for the glory of the Lord. And so there was a new vision. But beloved, with that new vision, there comes responsibility. Also, there was a proper approach. The elders of Israel came, the Levites took up the ark, they did it according as the word of God commanded. And they, it says in verse 6, they sacrificed sheep and oxen which could not be told nor numbered for multitude. First of all, there was a sacrifice for God. They were, you know, doing what we need to do. I don't know where that is, but it says if you do exactly what we're commanded, just say we're unprofitable servants because we're doing what we were commanded to do. But doing what is right or what is required, that's mere duty. Sacrifice means going far beyond what is expected or required. It said they sacrificed sheep and oxen, which could not be told nor numbered for multitude. In other words, they were lavish, they were excessive, they were expressing their joy and their commitment in wanting to worship God and serve Him. And when sacrifice is joyful, it will be unlimited. And then, of course, there was the recognition of God. They understood the very presence of God was symbolized and manifest in the Ark of the Covenant. This was a symbol of God's personal presence to them. And the Ark of the Covenant contained two tablets of Moses, the Ten Commandments, which were given on the Mount. And so, beloved, Jesus is the living Word of God. He is in the Holy of Holies, making intercession for us. Psalm 138 and 2 says, "For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." And now let's read verses 12 through 13. Of course, the intermediate verses said they came out of the holy place. They had the priests that were present were sanctified. And in verse 12, it says, "And also the Levites, which were the singers, and all of them of Asaph and Heman of Jeduthun with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets." Can you imagine what the sound of 120 trumpets would be like? "And it came to pass," I love this verse, I've asked the Lord, since I was a young baby Christian, I said, "Lord, please let me experience this." "It came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they had lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, 'For He is good, and His mercy endureth forever,' that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God." Oh, beloved, do you have a hunger and a desire to see God's glory, His presence so manifest in your life, in the congregation of the Lord, in our churches, in our individual lives, and we can go out and see people transformed by the power of God? We have been given so many blessings, so many opportunities, but will we respond? Are we willing to make that sacrifice? Are we willing to be as generous and wholehearted as the people of God were in the time of Solomon? Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to say, "Lord, not my will, but your will be done"? Are we waiting and seeking the face of God and praying that He would be glorified in our lives, that the harvest would come in? Are we weeping for souls? Are we asking God to pour out His Spirit and bring revival to this land, to clean up the violence and the wickedness and all the things that are a part of this time in which we're living? I believe God is giving us a window of time where we can do these things before Scripture must be fulfilled. And then there will be darkness. Then there will be the rise of everything that the Scriptures declares, the one world system, the Antichrist will come to power. And all these things must be accomplished because they are in the written Word of God. And it says that the people praise God in verse 13, saying, "The Lord is good, for His mercy endureth forever." Beloved, when God's people are overwhelmed with a sense of His goodness and continue publicly to render thanks to God for His great mercy, they are assured of His presence and blessing upon them without measure. Beloved, we have to do it God's way. Psalm 127 and 1 says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." Beloved, it has to be the way of the Lord. It has to be according to His plan. It has to be in prayer. There's nothing more important than prayer. Are we willing to pray? Are we willing to consecrate ourselves to God? Are we willing to make sacrifices for the kingdom of God? And that means sacrifice. I'm not just speaking about financially. I'm speaking of your time, of your effort. At the beginning of this week, I read that anonymous. I said I had to be a pastor. A Few Good Men, where there was Mr. Fred somebody and Mr. Thomas everybody and Mr. Peter and anybody and Mr. Joe nobody. Yeah, I mean, it's cleverly written, and basically nobody did anything. And so we just put off the thing, just like the people of Israel did. The word of the Lord came to them, and in that first chapter, the Lord rebuked them, saying, "Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Is it time for us just to be concerned about our own lives and things that we enjoy doing and being blessed and being prospered and enjoying the goodness of God, and not to be concerned about the things that God is concerned about the souls and the lives of those who are perishing, those who are suffering, those who are in heartache, those who need God's intervention, His compassion, His mercy, and His love?" Beloved, when we start to put first things first, when we start to seek God's kingdom and His righteousness, then everything we have, everything will be added to us. We don't have to be concerned. Beloved, God is looking for a people who will love Him and worship Him and praise Him and be excessive and extravagant in their worship, just as the people of God, they couldn't number the sacrifices. They were so great in their giving and their sacrificing because they so love God. And God was so pleased that His presence filled the temple so that the priests couldn't even stand up to minister. Oh, may we come into that same place in the days in which we are living. Well, as I bring this message to a conclusion on tomorrow's broadcast, I hope you can be with me. We'll see that as glorious as that first house was, trust me, what God says in that second chapter of Haggai, we ain't seen nothing yet. Praise God. So I invite you to tune in at the same time. If you have prayer needs, the announcer will give you your contact information. I love you. Thank you for joining me. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.